What's up, everybody? Welcome into another edition of the Sean Salisbury Show right here on the Believe Network. I'm Adam Sager. He is Sean Salisbury. Got a ton of football to talk about, including some quarterbacks controversies, a quarterback being replaced, and supposedly for the entire rest of the season. College football, we could have some chaos that I think, you know, we could talk about a little bit as we get into. Still plenty of time left for teams to lose, but as always, as we start, we're brought to you by Bet Online.
Yeah, and it's hoop season. Basketball is back, and Bet Online remains your number one source for all your sports betting needs this season. You'll always find the latest odds, team matchup information, player news, and game trends on Bet Online. And as your continued source for all sports wagering information, Bet Online features live betting, free contests, and giveaways all season long. Always the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports and events, whether it's NFL, NBA, NHL, MMA, tennis, boxing, or even golf. Head to betonline.ag to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus with first deposit. Make sure to use promo code BLEAV. That's B-L-E-A-V, BLEAV, to receive your rewards. And remember, BetOnline is where the game starts. Grateful to have them available. As our sponsor and with us, and grateful to have this show sponsored by them, Segs.
Well, if you were betting on amount of passes thrown by Mac Jones or Bailey Zappe last night, if you're going for the over for Mac Jones, you probably lost, because the Patriots just got their doors blown off by the Bears. And give credit where credit was due. Luke Getsy and Justin Fields had a great game plan, and Justin Fields played the best game we've seen him play in 2 years. I mean, they dialed up quarterback runs, which gave the Patriots fits, and Fields is just great with his eyes, and he can gets into open field. He makes plays inside the pocket where you're like, you don't know how he got out of. But then you go to the other side, Mac Jones starts, plays two or three series, I can't remember, gets pulled, which was supposedly part of the plan. But then Bailey Zappe just plays the rest of the game. Zappe comes in on fire. You know, they score the touchdown. They're moving the ball all over. Then the interception happens, and then it just kind of all goes downhill there for the Patriots. And the Bears just destroyed them last night on Monday Night Football.
Yeah, for both teams, Fields, when Fields eyes the next level to his game, one is getting him weapons.
Yes.
But when his eyes going through his progressions in the pass game match his eyes when he's eluding people and seeing people on the run, he's going to be really, really good. They had a good game plan. There's another level, and that is progressions that are going to take time with players when he trusts more receivers that he doesn't have to make every play. That's for Chicago, but he was at his best last night. On the other side, I had a big problem going into this season with, and I rarely do, with Belichick's staff or teams. I thought that it was somebody that they were reaching and gathering. I thought they were disorganized when it came to offensive football going into the season, losing Josh McDaniels, not knowing if it was Joe Judge or Matt Patricia. Now, maybe they knew in-house, but it sure seemed that they didn't have a plan, and that they put the plan in place almost felt like grab bagging to me. Joe Judge has never called plays. They gave it to Matt Patricia or Co. And he's been a head coach as both of them, but defensive side and play caller, special teams guy. Neither one of them called plays, and it shows. This team is offensively, I'm talking about Mac Jones, somehow, some way, I don't know if the injury or if he's lost his way, because second system in 2 years, but they look confused and indecisive with him and the next level that we thought he'd take after being the best rookie quarterback last year. I'd said that while his job, I think it's still his, be careful, because Bill's not afraid to make that change if he thinks somebody gives him a better chance to win. I don't know. I don't see as much Mac Jones energy as I'm used to, and Zappe brings it. But I think this team's confused offensively anyway, and they don't have a lot of weapons themselves. I don't know. You're going to see them both throughout the season, whether Bill wants to admit it or not. I don't think they believe Mac Jones right now. I don't know if they believe it. I don't know if they know whether or not Mac Jones was the guy they thought he was going to be after last year, at least the first 10 games. And Bailey Zappe brings energy. But they got a long way to go on that team to be back where they were. They have minimal weapons. It was a game of lack of weapons on the offense and the best quarterback last night won the game.
Yeah, for sure. And Justin Fields is now 3-0 against his 2021 classmates and Trey Lance in week one. Then he beat Davis Mills. I believe that was week 4 or 5. And now he beat Mac Jones, who was the starter. But Bailey Zappe played most of the game. What would you do going forward if you're the Patriots? If you're the decision maker, if you're Bill Belichick, what would you do with the two quarterbacks?
Let Mac Jones play his way out of the decision. I mean, out of the job, or play his way into it. I would say I'm going to live with it. I don't believe we're a playoff team, and I can't imagine they think they are. Zappe's not going anywhere. They're both under rookie contracts. Obviously, Mac Jones won extra year because he's a first rounder. But I think he's probably earned the right to play his way out of it after some injury. Not that you get to keep your job due to injury, but banged up and Zappe playing the last couple of weeks to let me see if the guy I had last year for 10 games, however many he started, and he tailed off at the end of the year, but he was solid for the most part and processes information. Let me see if he's taken a step back fully or if he's adjusting with the new coaching staff and with the new way they're doing things. I think he's earned that right to at least let's see as they elevate. But I can tell you this, my leash isn't long, Segs. In this league now, there's some people who fell in love with Mac Jones, and there's some who thinks he's limited. And he is limited with his movement, but he's a smart guy and throws the ball on time and with pretty good accuracy. But the offense also has to expand what they do. They can't, and it was even part of the time last year, they did not expand themselves like you saw Mac Jones do with Sarkisian as a coordinator at Alabama.
Yes.
Now they had better weapons at Alabama, but I think that Mac Jones deserves the right to be the quarterback. Now, when I say deserves it, I think he's earned it. Mm-hmm. Zappe's been good, just like Cooper Rush came in and did a nice job, but Dak Prescott's the quarterback, and I'm not comparing Jones to Prescott, but I think that they put a body of work in that says, let me play through these things while the offensive staff is still learning. And then if he craps the bed and urinates down his leg, make a switch. I'm not beholden to a guy just because he was a first-round pick, although some may be. But I think that it's Zappe comes off the bench. He's proven that he can gain trust with him in his short career so far. But Mac Jones should be the starter right now until he proves to me otherwise.
Yeah, it's just one of these things where in all facets of society – everything got to be done right now. You know, if you're going to be a good quarterback, it's got to be right now. It doesn't matter. Yep. We don't even look at any of the outstanding circumstances. It's just, you got to be good. It doesn't matter. You know, we don't care if you're running with one wide receiver. Yeah. The guys cannot grow anymore in the game. But now let's look at two teams where there is no growing for the quarterback. They're two veterans, two of the best that have ever played in this game, in Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers. What team are you more disappointed in? The Packers lose to the Commanders 23-21, and then the Bucs lose to the Panthers 21-3 right after they trade Christian McCaffrey. What the hell is going on with these two teams?
Yeah, make no mistake. They're both extremely disappointing. I mean, we both had them, and I think most people have Super Bowl contenders at the beginning of the season. Right now, they may make the playoffs, but it's going to be by default unless they completely change their MO, because their offenses are putrid, man. They're a hard watch. It looks to me like Green Bay feels like they're in training camp. It does to me. It really does that they're, well, is this guy, can he play? And what about him here? And the protection, everything's just, I haven't seen him in sync for four quarters yet. Offensively, I know they've won games. I'm talking about where it looks like the Green Bay Packers with Aaron Rodgers. The other side, the Buccaneers look slow to me. They look slow on the perimeter. They look slow getting to the hole. I'm talking about offensively. Defensively, they're going to run around. They're still good. Brady still has a fastball and all that, but it's constant. If you watch both of them, the frustration mounts quicker. There's zero pace. Neither quarterback has any patience with anything right now. And I get it. When you've been in the league this long, you're like, expect more. I wouldn't bet either one of them as a Super Bowl team now. The only thing that keeps you holding on is those two. I mean, their defenses are both pretty good. Obviously, Buccaneers, I think, is a better defense. But they'll fly around. You expect that at some point, four games in a row, they got to get on a roll with these quarterbacks. But maybe we're in one of those seasons that they don't. The Buccaneers are going to win the division by default, whether they play well or not. Because that division's sorry. Awesome. And the other than the Packers, that division, there's some teams that'll be competitive. But, I mean, other than the Vikings – but the Packers don't look like a playoff team to me right now. Honest to God, they don't. And I won't be shocked if they don't make it. But in the NFC, you win 9 games, you're probably in. So they got to get on a roll. So the Buccaneers look slow offensively, and and Green Bay looks disinterested, dismantled, like not on the same page from the sideline to the quarterback to the receiver. They just look like and it sounds so cheesy to say trying to find themselves, but they look nothing like the Green Bay Packers I'm used to seeing. Even when they change personnel, they've always been able to get going. I'm not real fond of either one of them right now. I put it this way. I'd bet anything that neither one of them sniff winning a Super Bowl this year. And that's a bummer because I think one's going to stay and one's probably going to retire. And that retiring would probably be Tom Brady. But they both have earned the right by me to say I got to respect them because they can get hot. And when they're back, we saw it. Tampa Bay's been kicked in the teeth before. And the year they won the Super Bowl, they were floundering around for a minute, but a little more explosive. I just don't like the fact that they just don't put the ball in the end zone. Right. They don't score. And that's not like them. Even in losing, they scored. It's a bad watch right now. I don't think either team's a contender. They're both pretenders as far as Super Bowl goes right now.
Yeah, I think if you're looking at both teams, if there's one team you think that can take that turn and become a Super Bowl contender, it is the Bucs because their defense is good, Tom Brady, but they also have Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Julio Jones. They have veteran guys that I think, you know what, they can kind of get together and be like, all right, guys, we've done this before. We know how much talent we have. We know that, yeah, maybe the offensive line isn't what we're used to, but we could start making plays. Whereas the Green Bay Packers, I don't think Aaron Rodgers, you mentioned Justin Fields doesn't have anybody really outside of Darnell Mooney that he trusts throwing the football to. I don't think Aaron Rodgers trusts anybody unless it's the running back, Aaron Lazard, Jones, he's throwing to. Yeah, and Lazard a little bit, but hell, I think he had 3 drops the other day. These rookies have come in. Christian Watson, who everybody loved, including me, in the draft process, he can't see the field because of a hamstring. And then Romeo Doubs, the other kid, he drops a little too many as well. So there's just both these teams are very frustrating to watch right now. And well, I mean, I shouldn't say for me because I'm a Bears fan, Packers. So fuck the Packers.
Right.
But
right. And Segs, with that, they're going to Buffalo this week.
Yep.
The Packers are. Now, Aaron Rodgers, I'm not even sure Aaron believes this, okay, says this might be, you know, really good for us. Nobody's giving us a chance. We're going to Buffalo, blah, blah, blah. Now, I would normally agree with him on that. But the problem is I'm not sure they have a chance. That's the difference. I don't know how much they can score, and I don't know how they're going to get off the field on defense, in truth. Now, it is Rodgers, and he's got hero all written all over him. He's got those ones. But he can be a hero, but I just don't know how they're going to get enough guys in position to beat the Buffalo Bills. There is a big, long gap, a big, thick one between the Chiefs, the Eagles, the Bills, and
everybody
the
else.
Next level. There really just is. And the next level is pretty Cowboys, Giants, Vikings, I get. But right now, if you said, Sean, you get 2 teams, one in the NFC and one in the AFC or the field, I'll take a 1 team in the AFC and 1 in the NFC. I'll take the Eagles and the Bills. I'll give you the field. And that means even giving you Kansas City, who dismantled and kicked the San Francisco 49ers' ass.
Yeah, that was next up on my list. That, you know, Christian McCaffrey's debut. And, you know, he averaged over 6 yards per touch. And I thought he played really well in his limited time because still learning everything there. But the Niners, that defense, you know, we talk about how this is they're good on all levels. And they just had no answer. I mean, how many times are you going to let Mecole Hardman take the ball around the end? It's putrid coaching.
They gave
in my
up
opinion.
Almost 600 not, yards.
Yeah,
they gave
that's
up
not what they're
yards.
Supposed to be under. Now I'm going to forget the who's
D'Amico
their
Ryans.
Defense. Yeah, D'Amico
Ryans.
Ryans.
Yep.
Like it's just that was a game I'm watching. I'm like, holy cow! And that just shows you, Kansas City can flip that switch because they weren't playing great early. They flipped that switch even without Tyreek Hill. And it's just Patrick Mahomes can do what he wants. And that's why we look at it. And we just said they're one of 3 teams that are head and shoulders better than everybody else.
And it goes back to what you said, Segs, about the nonsense, how we put on quarterbacks.
Right.
Mahomes is a great example. He's to blame. it's a compliment. To
he really is. Yeah.
He's the reason. He plays at such a high level all the time. We're like, oh, everybody's supposed to do that. It's like, no, one dude's an alien. And the rest of you cats are just, I mean, are just kind of normal other than the Josh Allens of the world. So when you're an alien, we expect everybody now to be an alien. And unfortunately, the other quarterbacks are actually on par to doing what they're supposed to do, struggle and give you some good times, right?
Hell, look at Josh Allen. People wanted to give up on him.
After 2 years.
After 2 years.
Damn right they did. That's exactly right.
And I know that
they didn't, right?
Right. And I know that doesn't happen often where they turn into like the best player in the league, but they could still turn into very good quarterbacks that can win you Super Bowls. That's what people don't understand when it comes to Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields and all these guys. Now, I will say watching Zach Wilson is like watching someone with their hair on fire just run around. Because I keep going back to Justin Fields because I watch a lot of him. He seems calm and he knows what he's doing when he's moving out of the pocket and taking off running. Zach Wilson reminds me of like Johnny Manziel in college where he just ran around and tried to make a play. But in the NFL, you can't do that.
With more skills. Yeah, agreed. Right. Segs, listen, I know we're so intrigued with his potential and I get it. And the Jets are getting better.
They're winning games, you know, despite
he'll
him.
He'll yank one into the ground. He'll be falling off balance and throw one across by like, why? And then he'll make a throw. You're like, oh, okay, I get it. Guy's really talented. I get it. But I'm with you. Put it this way. And listen, I'm rooting for Zach Wilson. I've been fortunate to spend some time in BYU's fieldhouse with him. So I'm rooting for him. And I hope he does well. But the inconsistencies are a tad bit alarming, right? With hit a guy here on a throw you shouldn't make. And then little yank into the ground on a short throw that you should make.
Right, right.
Stags, you know what he'd be perfect for? Picture you and I were having like a beer at a keg at a frat party. And we just like, okay, let's get 11 on 11. Let's go grab a ball. Zach, you're our quarterback.
Backyard like, football.
Oh, dude. He would be the fraternity league MVP because here's his play. Get open. Drop back. That's how I see him, right?
Yeah.
And he's throwing, doing all kinds of shit, that pole, yanking it out of his ass and making throws. Unfortunately, that works once in a while in the NFL. You got to make the easy plays. And I know Sal is probably going to, his head's going to explode at times, and so is
soon
Michael LaFleur, but he's so gifted, you hang on, right? But it's a bit annoying. But I can just tell you this, when you got the Allens and the Mahomes, they've blown it for a lot of these young quarterbacks that we are impatient with, because a lot of them are like, okay, Lawrence is struggling at times and playing good at times. It's what you're supposed to do. But and so much for San Francisco's, oh man, this defense so good. Mahomes made them look like they were a lower third defense.
Yeah.
I mean, it was sick. So I don't know what to think other than McCaffrey needs to touch between Debo and McCaffrey on the 49ers, Segs. They got to have 40 targets or touches combined a game. They do. They have 65 plays, and then get Kittle his 8 or 9, mix in Ayuk. Yep. They need, and I'm talking about from the backfield, screens, I don't care. I don't need Kyle to show me, well, Christian sits out while Debo's in the game. No. You put them both in, and you dial up. You better be working in the lab about 8 or 10 different formations this week, and a whole bunch of different ways to deploy those guys. And they better damn well be on the field the whole time, because Garoppolo needs help. He sure as hell does. And he's going to need more of it. So we'll see what happens. I still think the 49ers win that division, Sags, because they're the most talented team.
Yeah. And it's just, I don't want to say it's easy, because it's not easy. It takes a lot of time and preparation and everything. But when you look at the Niners, when you have Debo, McCaffrey, Ayuk, and Danny Gray, as guys that can catch the ball, and then Kittle at tight end, it's like that group should be on the field, in my opinion, 80 to 85% of the time.
Agreed.
And then you sprinkle
all
in
of them
guys.
At once.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
All of them at once.
100%. Right. Right. Yes. And then if you want to sprinkle in Jeff Wilson now or Elijah Mitchell when he comes back, some of the other receivers they got, fine. But that core group right there, because Gray is their deep threat. Debo works underneath along. Kittle can pretty much do it all. He's blocking. You can get down the seam. He can do underneath. He's just he's maybe the best tight end in football. And they're just so talented. But when you have Jimmy G, you have to set it up for him perfectly. And that's what we all expect Kyle Shanahan to do.
And he'll be better when it's set up for him like that. He needs great players around him. And when Trent Williams and McGlinchey back on the field, it starts to come together. It takes one last thing about that. Just by having those guys on the field at the same time and including Debo and McCaffrey, that if you're a defense, even if they don't touch it, you have to defend it.
Right.
You have to defend jet sweep fake to Debo inside zone to McCaffrey. You have to defend flexing them both out or your empty backfield and both of them are in different slots. And if you decide to in and out one, you can't do the other. And oh, by the way, Kittle's pretty friggin' good.
Yeah.
Right. So I just, and if, listen, if Jimmy can't make this, if Jimmy and Kyle can't make this work,
then it's not going to work.
You know what? Then their ceiling has already been hit by and smashed and they can't break through it. One stat for you, Segs. I know you pay attention to all this, and I'm not, you and I are stat guys to a point, right? I like certain
to
analytics.
A point. Yep.
And to a point, but I'm not going to live with all the, you know, in baseball, war. I know it's a big stat. Listen, the backup's supposed to be worse than the starter. So wins above replacement. We could do it for football, too. Do you know that Kyle Shanahan, Segs, and the 49ers, since he's the head coach? Now, this is going to blow your friggin' mind. Because I knew they struggled, but I didn't know it was like this. When they are down 3 points or more in the fourth quarter,
okay,
to start the fourth quarter.
Right, heading in. Okay.
1-30. Ooh. 1-30.
Holy
cow. When they start the fourth quarter with a lead that's 3 points or a deficit that's 3 points or more, when they're down a friggin' field goal or more, they are 1-30. Now, so I guess the biggest guarantee in football is if you got a field goal lead against the 49ers, their ass can't beat you. Right. So they better front run their ass off the rest of the year and the rest of Kyle Shanahan's career. Because Stakes, certainly, if you said they were 1-4, I'd say, okay.
Yeah, okay. Just there's certainly, you
know, like a guy struck out 8 times in a row, but he hits 3-10. I'd say, okay, he'll come out of it. When that happens, that's a friggin' trend.
Yes.
That's cut into your big DNA. Time. And that's there's a problem. And you think about the players they have, and 1-30, 3 points or more. It didn't say 10 points or more, Segs. 3.
Yeah.
1-30. Awful, awful stat. That's got to change. The 49ers will be watching in January and February again.
But that's just, you know, that that's what, when you think of Kyle Shanahan, that's what you think. Struggles at the end of games. Struggles to put teams away. Struggles to come back. Like that, it's just, that's been Kyle Shanahan's MO, and he's such a good coach that, you know, that's
smart.
Not what you want to be the first thing you think of. But when you
maybe
look at the Super Bowl,
maybe they get too cute, right, Segs?
Yes, exactly.
Maybe they get too cute. Yes. Start to think, do they? Because I know he's X's and O's smart. Hell, he's been around it forever, and he's a brilliant play mind caller in formations. But even in Atlanta, like you were about to say, as a quarterback, I don't know if that's as the coordinator, 28-3 late.
The Super Bowl,
So this has been a trend for him. For a brilliant coach, something's got to change, Segs, and I don't know if it's too cute or they choke it up, but remember, teams take on the personality of the head coach, and they're not good at the end of games. They're just not.
Yep, and same can be said, the exact same thing can be said about Jimmy Garoppolo. Just he has not been good enough at the end of games. Let's go to Kyle Shanahan's previous quarterback, Matt Ryan, goes to the Colts this year, and everybody – you know, I saw a couple headlines of people doing the old takes exposed of, oh, Matt Ryan, best move of the offseason. Colts make the best move. Well, here he is. He gets injured, knocked out. And then here comes Frank Reich after the game being like, he's done. Like, he's not going to be our quarterback. It's Sam Ehlinger, and it's going to be Sam Ehlinger the rest of the season as long as he's healthy. That's what Frank Reich says. What the hell do you say to that? Because you spent the capital to go get Matt Ryan. You're spending the money. And now here we are, week 7, and Frank Reich saying he's done with them.
Segs, it's so weird. And I'm on every week with Dockage, right? Mm-hmm. And even yesterday we were on Monday. And at that point in time, we didn't know.
Right, that came out later.
Right. Because I was on at noon. It was later in the afternoon.
Yep.
Noon my time, 1 o'clock Eastern. And didn't know. We were talking about Matt Ryan. I said, listen, he's been really good in the fourth quarter of games this year. That's about the only time they've been good. Lays the ball on the ground. I think he's got 9 touchdowns, 9 picks. So now the yards, he's over a lot of yards. Why? Because they're throwing 45 and 58 times a game. But been a turnover machine. And I said, listen, he's going to throw for a lot of yards, and that's fine. But if you get him off his spot by 6 inches, he's done. He can't move a lick. Right. He makes Tom Brady look like Lamar Jackson. You know what I'm saying? So – it's bad. Now, I didn't think this was happening because Ehlinger hasn't started a game. We know what he brings. Now watch this game plan completely change, Sigs. Jonathan Taylor, 10 more carries was all on Sunday. Who's your best player?
Yeah.
Now watch, all of a sudden they're going to turn around and hand it to that dude about 40 times. And Ellinger's going to run RPO quarterback power about 15 to 18 more times. And when the first guy's open or closed or covered, he's going to take off and go take get you off, more yards, and then hopefully make some scrambles and plays. He's the 100%. He's not a pocket guy, and he's not going to beat you standing in there. And they're not going to throw it 50 times a game, I assure you, unless they're down 40. They still might not throw it that much.
Right.
So they're going to completely change the way they do things. What blows my mind, Segs, about this is 2 weeks ago, Frank Reich was screaming to the high heavens about how Matt Ryan was fourth quarter. You got to ride with the hot hand. The guy's fantastic. Yep. Has been all year. And I'm telling you, overnight, the shoulders bang up. We're going to go with Sam Ehlinger the whole year. So, Segs, I'm thinking, is this Ursay to Ballard, Ballard to Reich, make the change now. Matt Ryan's not helping us. This isn't good. It's not going to happen for us. Because remember how excited they were and giddy when they got him over Carson Wentz, as you mentioned, what they're paying. And now, a lot of us thought, well, they got to be close to the favorite, the best quarterback in the division until Trevor Lawrence is right. It's got to be Matt Ryan, right? Well, not so fast, my friend. So, listen, they're not a playoff team now. Now, Ehlinger will make, he's got energy, Segs. You remember him at Texas. But he's not going to be a guy that's going to carry it. They're going to have to change. And then then Frank Reich goes, I love him. The guy's a true pro. It's not his fault. Well, yeah, of course you're blaming it on him. Or he wouldn't be benching his ass.
Right.
Yes, of course it is. So this is a CYA. This ain't just Frank Reich calling up and saying, I'm benching him. You guys okay, Chris Brown? This is three dudes standing around saying, we're not very good. Let's find out what we got, Sam Ehlinger. We've seen the best of Matt Ryan.
And here's the worst part for the Colts is, even with Sam Ehlinger starting the last 11, 10 games, however many they have left, you, I think, are going to win a few games that are, you could still get to 7 wins. And the problem with that is, okay, now you're stuck. Now you still have no quarterback, in my opinion, because Sam Ehlinger is not a starting quarterback in the NFL.
Agreed.
But now you could be picking 16th or 15th, and now you don't have a shot unless you're going to give up even more draft capital after you've given up for Wentz and Ryan and others. Phillip Rivers, remember, they brought him in a few years ago. Like, they are stuck in football hell in Indianapolis right now, and they've been stuck in football hell since Andrew Luck up and retired right before the season. I mean,
agreed.
It might be
set the franchise back, Segs.
Yeah.
Set the franchise back. Even though you had Rivers and Ryan, you hung around, but it set it back.
Their best quarterback since the retirement may be Jacoby Brissett. Phillip Rivers was pretty good, but just the way everybody's played, it's just they're stuck, and they're not playing bad enough to be first overall, but they're not good enough to make the playoffs. They lose in games that they should win at the end of the year. Yes.
Quarterback purgatory. Quarterback, you're just sitting in the middle where you're like, I can't find the guy, that guy. I can find a guy, but I'm having trouble finding that guy because we're not, and then we're down here and we need another lineman. So we draft that guy and hope that we can go grab another veteran. So what's next? You trading for Russ Wilson after they decide to get rid of him?
Yeah.
Right. And when he's at his worst and watch the same thing happen. Right.
They keep going after veterans that aren't working yet. And then at the same time, they're drafting quarterbacks like Sam Ehlinger, like Jacob Eason, who never, saw the field. It's just, they're just stuck. Talking about another team who just kind of seems stuck in a different way, and that's injuries. The Los Angeles Chargers lose J.C. Jackson for the year. Mike Williams is now out at least weeks, not days. So, it sounds like it could be 3 to 4 weeks, if not a little bit longer, with an ankle. This team can't stay healthy. Keenan Allen has been out early this year. Justin Herbert, we're used to Justin Herbert throwing the ball down the field, pushing the ball down the field, and that's where he has his success. Now, I think I saw the stat where he was second or third worst in the NFL in terms of yards per attempt. It was like 3.5. And this is Justin Herbert we're talking about. So I don't know what's going on with the Chargers. I think Brandon Staley should be on the hot seat. You lose to the Seahawks, who are playing well, give them credit, but It's still a team that you should
beat. He's
a bad
game manager, too, Sage.
Yes.
He's a bad game manager.
I don't know what the Chargers should be doing. I don't. I mean, it's just – it's chaos
They're
there in
L.A.
right now. Yes.
Agreed. And Brandon Staley, when I say game manager, I'm talking about when to go for it, when not to go for it. Talk about a guy getting too cute.
Yes.
Good gracious. Just stop it. You're not giving your team the best chance to win. And there's another guy who's a brilliant X's and O's guy,
yep.
and I love his energy. But sometimes, you know, I'm on the sidelines thinking, dude, McFly, what are you doing, McFly?
Make
Come
up.
On now.
Yep.
Right. Segs, you know what? Think about this. You want to talk about the biggest Groundhog Day conversation you and I have had the last 6 years? How many times we said, oh, Derwin James is out. Oh, remember when Hunter Henry played there? He was there.
Yep.
Every year.
Every year.
Friggin' year, it's three or four or five or six or seven guys. And then all of a sudden, we look at their talent. We're saying, when Melvin Ingram was there and both loaded everywhere, right? This guy goes down. Then you lose this guy. And then they're scrambling around and they just play well enough to tease you. And then they go get Herbert. They're like, whoa, look at this. I mean, it's constant. It's baffling. And here we are with a team that is a playoff talented team that's going to have to fight and scratch and struggle to hang around Kansas City and be in the playoff. And they, yep. I think they'll get in, but because their quarterback's spectacular enough. But say they just – it is so weird to me. I could hit the perpetual rewind and just – and we'll
Same
go again,
thing.
A treadmill, and we could have this conversation last year and the year before and the year before. Talent, but, man, underachieve. And here we are again looking at the same thing, and Herbert's going to have a lot of responsibility because he's a special talent, but they can't seem to overcome that on a regular basis. And they kind of play down to competition.
They do.
Not disrespecting Seattle. I saw it here when they played Houston last year. They played down to competition. They don't know how to put your foot on the throat like a Kansas City or Buffalo does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mentioned Mike Williams out. They had Keenan Allen's been banged up. They lost Rashawn Slater, one of the best young left tackles in football. They lost him for the year. And J.C. Jackson, their big free agent signing from the Patriots. I don't just don't sign anybody from the Patriots ever.
Right.
Yeah,
he got
benched and then now he's out. And it's just don't sign anyone from the Patriots because if Bill Belichick is letting them walk, there's a reason. Like that's my only thing. Just
sure
I would never.
Like it, doesn't it?
Yeah. But problem is Bill doesn't have much talent. And then awful news for the Jets. They lose Breece Hall to an ACL. In the game where he was, you know, going off again, showing why, you know, he's one of two of the best rookie running backs along with Damian Pierce there in Houston. He's been a monster, but then they did go trade for James Robinson, gave up a sixth will end up being a fifth, from the Jags. So Jags getting more assets. They're not winning. They should. James Robinson is going to be a free agent. You don't sign James Robinson. If you're the Jaguars, get something for him. So I like the move.
And then
for
he'll
the
help
Jets.
The Jets too, Sex.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a veteran that has some game and can keep your running game at least respected and respectful enough. And he can play. And I'm sick to my stomach for Breece Hall. I don't like seeing anybody get hurt.
Yep.
But say he is such a gift. He was so good in college too, right? Home run hitter. Man alive. What a guy to lean on in the screen game, in the running game. You can do so many different things with him. What a bummer setback for a guy who I think is a budding star in the league. Now he'll have to spend it, you know, rehabbing and doing his thing. But he was sure fun to watch for the first third of the season. Awesome, awesome talent. Really is.
Looking at college football, Clemson squeaks by Syracuse. What'd you think of that game? I mean, officiating definitely had something to do with that, just like the USC-Utah game. But Clemson stays undefeated.
It stuck out to me and says, well, you win, you win. One is I told you about Klubnik and DJ.
I
told you
say,
the kid,
DJ gets
the
benched.
Energy, the kid from Austin, that DJ's leash. I know Dabo's sticking with him, but that leash ain't going to be long because you saw the energy change. DJ's a good player. That Klubnik kid's a monster, and he's his feet. See how he buys
time.
It
was just like when Lawrence came in for I can't remember who the quarterback was.
The kid who transferred to Missouri.
Yes.
The quarterback that transferred to Missouri.
Oh, I can't think of his. I'll
you know
figure
who
it
I'm
out.
Talking,
but yeah.
Yeah
It's that same feeling watching that game when Trevor Lawrence came into that game. I remember because he threw an out to the left all the way across the field, and I texted you. I was like, holy shit. And you could just feel the buzz
exactly
in the state.
That's exactly what you said.
right. with Klubnik.
And the quarterback
as well.
Who was a good player. I mean, a really good player. I can't remember. He ended up transferring and starting for, I think it was Missouri.
It was Missouri.
Year. Right. So Segs and with Klubnik. So that, keep an eye on that situation. You know what's crazy? Syracuse has them dead to rights. I mean, the big lead. Clemson does what they do. But two stupid penalties by Clemson that were the right call, the one where down and hitting a guy at about, don't be dumb.
Yeah,
but then on a return game, they came back and Clemson hit the guy 5 yards out of bounds and didn't get a call.
Yep.
So I'm not saying it's the refs, but you can't, when you're playing good teams like that, you can't have the self-inflicted errors. But I was proud of Syracuse. I still don't think Clemson's going to be a Final Four team. I don't.
Yeah.
I there's a loss somewhere in there, but I understand the conference they're playing in, but Syracuse may have been their best go at this one. They had a chance and let it go.
Yeah, it was Kelly Bryant, by the way.
There you go.
The quarterback.
There you go.
That,
and he did go to Missouri, right?
Yes, he did go to Missouri.
Right.
Anything else stand out from the, Oregon beats UCLA? I thought that
sneaky
was...
Sneaky team, Sigs. Keep an eye on them.
They're coming back.
Listen, they are after that embarrassment against Georgia, mm-hmm. right? Bo Nix has played out of his mind. Now, here's the thing. They're going to have to – they're like eighth. Can they climb that many – are they going to get enough help by not running the table because of one loss? Now, how impressive they're going to be the rest of the year? They're going to have to get help from somebody like Alabama or an SEC team losing. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to get Tennessee losing a game or Michigan, Ohio State. I mean, you can start to I just don't see how you go from 8-4 if these teams are still playing their best football. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Run the table in the Pac-12 you're in, SC or Oregon. You got losses. Nobody's got – I think the Pac-12's going to be in a chase mode the whole year, Segs. But keep an eye on them because they're really friggin' good. They're going to get close if this keeps up.
What kills them is having Clemson undefeated and TCU undefeated in front of them.
That's exactly right.
That's what kills Oregon and the Pac-12.
Because if TCU stays undefeated, the Pac-12's got no chance and the ACC as well. I already can lock in three teams that I feel like are going to be there. The fourth one may be up for grabs, but in truth, the Pac-12 has to go undefeated. But Oregon's going to look really good by running this because they look impressive the last 7 or so weeks after that opening loss to Georgia.
Yeah. Later this week, I want to run a chaos scenario by you because we've talked about it. Last year was supposedly going to be the last year of the four teams. Then we go to 12 and that chaos kind of can go away. We'll have a fun setup of 12 teams in a playoff where I think we can actually get a good champion each year. But the four, I want to see some chaos. I want to see some teams that, shouldn't be in there, keep winning and make it hard on the committee one final time.
So you got a scenario.
Yeah, so I'll throw that at you later this week as
Sounds
we
good,
get
brother.
Going more into it. But that will do it for this episode. As always, we're brought to you by Bet Online. He's Sean, I'm Adam. You can find everything at Believe.com.
See you, bud.